CBS Radio Sports and the Baltimore Orioles welcome you to this special presentation of the Hot Stove Show.
Play ball!
This is the Hot Stove Show on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan. An hour-long look at baseball offseason transactions, player trades, deals, and the upcoming Orioles baseball season. Now, live from Dempsey's Pub at Oriole Park, here's the Hot Stove Show with Jim Hunter on the flagship station of the Orioles, 105.7 The Fan.
And welcome in, everyone, and welcome to Dempsey's at the ballpark, our final Hot Stove Show here. We're going to take the show to Florida beginning next Thursday, and I guess I'll be the last to arrive in spring training. Looking forward to traveling down there tomorrow. Rock Kubatka is going on his two-week anniversary of arriving in camp, and the games are about to begin. Rock joins us from Sarasota, somewhere by the pool, I would expect. Rocco, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Well, doing pretty well. It was 74 degrees here today. I had lunch outside, so I'm getting into my Florida mode here in Baltimore. We can only hope we have this weather for opening day. It was that nice.
I hope it doesn't make me seem like a bad person, but it's not nearly as much fun being here when it's in the 70s back home. I mean, it's got to snow back home so I can gloat a little bit.
Well, it can't snow until I get out of here. I want no problems with my flight tomorrow.
Understood.
So let's get to what was a very busy day there, the Orioles' second of their two intra-squad games. Anything jump out at you from that game?
Well, Vidal Nuño obviously struggled a little bit. He did throw 15 of his 19 pitches for strikes, so he was in the zone. That was the good thing, but he gave up the back-to-back home runs to Manny Machado, Wellington Castillo, and the orange team beat the black team 3-1. We actually had some scoring here, but a couple things. You know, Ubaldo Jimenez, he ended up being so efficient, he kept him on the mound to get a fourth out in the first inning, which is why, you know, these inter-squad stats can be a little mixed up and deceiving because there are no real rules. Buck can pull you at any time and end an inning. He can leave a guy on the mound or run up his pitch count a little bit. But he was that efficient. And Buck said is actually that Ubaldo's velocity was a tick higher than it normally is this early in the spring. But also, Jesus Lorenzo, and you remember, the Orioles put him on the 40-man, protect him in the Rule 5, even though he's only 21 and, you know, made the jump from Delmarva to Bowie. And he was 95 to 98 today. And just, you know, really looks so poised. Everybody I talk to, they're impressed by him. He's not going to break camp with the team, but he's definitely somebody you got to keep an eye on. He could make his major league debut this summer, which, again, considering he began last season at Delmarva, that's really saying something. But, you know, Caleb Joseph caught some of his bullpens and was just amazed by how smooth and easy his delivery is, but the ball gets on you really quick. You have to be ready for it. And again, his velocity was really good today, so that was somebody else who stood out for sure.
Well, the thing that's intriguing about Lorenzo is that you think of Manny Machado, made his major league debut at age 19, and as a pitcher, if you could get people out, it doesn't matter your age or your experience level, and he has what you can't teach. He has the stuff.
Right, and he's got composure. That's, you know, what Caleb was saying the other day when I talked to him. He's like, you know, you can get young kids in camp who are throwing BBs, but they don't have that kind of fastball command like he does. And maybe they're pressing a little bit because they're trying to impress or they're nervous. He just seems very calm, and he was impressive in minicamp. And Buck had said something before about, better keep an eye on this kid. Like, he might be the one who could end up being kind of the dark horse or somebody who pops that you might not be expecting and could contribute sooner than you would expect for somebody that age.
All right, I want to talk to you about the stages of training camp. So you arrive, the pitchers and catchers then arrive, the position players then join them, then you have all the drills and the live BP and PFPs and all that stuff. Then you finally get to these intra-squad games, which are now over, and now the exhibition season begins tomorrow with a road game at Lakeland against the Tigers. Now, the players, you've been there the entire time, do they look at this as graduating, okay, finally we're going to get into a routine here instead of just practicing?
Yeah, they do. And, I mean, it feels like they're starting a little bit earlier than normal, but yet players still feel like, man, we've been down here forever already. And it is a longer spring because of the WBC. But already they're, you know, they're ready to move on to the next stage. I mean, I'm sure they enjoyed the inter-squad games just because it was competition. And it wasn't just a bunch of drills. So like Adam Jones says, man, we're tired of you. You go to the backfield, Wayne Kirby's screaming at you, and you're still doing all the different drills. Like, they want to go ahead and play in games, and you're not going to have many starters, if any, in Lakeland tomorrow. And Buck joked, okay, I'll pay my first fine, because I think you're required technically to have what they consider three regulars on a trip. However you distinguish who's considered a regular, you're still putting your team together. But I'm just like, Caleb Joseph will be on the trip. He's not a regular, but he's a recognizable name at least. He's not somebody over for minor league camp. But you'll have guys, otherwise they'll stay back and work out, but then they go to Bradenton the next day to play the Pirates, and you're going to have Jones and Scope and Machado and Castillo because, you know, first of all, it's the shortest trip. It's like 20 minutes away, but also, look, once you get these WBC guys as much playing time as he can before they leave camp, and Scope leaves on the 28th. He's the first one, and that's why today's inter squad game, you had Scope, Jones, Machado, Castillo, the first four hitters for the Orange team, because you're just trying to get them at-bats as many as you can and get them in as many games as you can other than taking them to Lakeland before you ship them off.
I wasn't aware Adam Jones had gray pants.
They may have to borrow a pair from somebody.
All right, let me shift gears here. Dan Duquette, as always, has done a tremendous job in creating competition by adding depth. And the way this outfield may shape up is really intriguing to me. And I was playing around with the roster waiting for the show to begin. And the infield is set, Davis, Scope, Hardy, and Manny, plus one utility player. Maybe it's Ryan Flaherty, who knows. So that's five. You have the two catchers, Castillo and probably Caleb, so that's seven. And then you have four outfielders set, including Trumbo, with Kim Jones and Seth Smith. So to me, that's 11 set of what usually is 13 position players. Now, Dan brought in Craig Gentry. He signed Michael Bourne this week. And you have Joey Rickard, who is back and is healthy, and they love what he brings to the game. Now, the way I add this up, two of these three can make the team, and possibly all three if they don't take as many pitchers. So as you see this developing over the course of games now that begin tomorrow, is there anyone here that has the edge, or are they open-minded enough to let the competition determine who gets those spots?
Yeah, if you can figure this out, please share that roster with me, because you're right. It could go a lot of different ways. And you didn't even mention Trey Mancini. Remember, it looked like they definitely wanted to bring him north, and now it's like, is there a spot for him at this point because the guys are adding? Of course, we should keep in mind the opening day roster isn't going to be what we're going to see later in April, because Bucket said they might just take 10 or 11 pitchers. They've got those three off days early. So you could probably at least early on carry some extra position guys before you have to whittle them down. You got two Rule 5 guys as well, and Santander and Tavares. So there's a lot of competition. There's 12 outfielders in camp right now. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do, and I think it is kind of a wide-open competition. I mean, Rickard, a lot of people made the assumption, well, you know, because he impressed as much as he did before he got hurt, that he's going to make the team, but he doesn't have Rule 5 status now, and we don't know, because they're really impressed by Gentry, who's another right-handed hitter, similar skill set, but obviously more of a track record in the majors, and, you know, they consider him, actually, probably right now, he's the better defender. You know, Joey, I think he's still getting acclimated to the major league ballparks, as you know. He took some poor routes last year, and the defensive metrics weren't kind to him. I think he's better than that. But Gentry, they're saying, you know, plus defender, plus runner. They love his arm, and he's back to where he was before. The last couple seasons were really lost years for him. Injuries, he had some concussion symptoms, he completely different player now in camp. He's made a strong impression, and you know, but you throw Bourne in there as well, and, you know, it's a minor league deal. He's got a March 27th opt-out. But let's see what he does. And Rickard, and, you know, there's different ways they could go. And Tavares, and they're not saying, okay, well, we just want some extra guys in camp, but we're pretty set with these. It really is a wide-open competition, and Dan will tell you, and Buck will tell you, competition's a good thing. And I credit Joey for saying, I'm not worried about it, because I got to this level by not worrying about things like that. I'll just go out and do what I can do. And Buck's kind of keeping an eye on that. He goes, I'm impressed. He goes, he's not worried. You know, Joey hit .397 in spring training last year, so
right.
He may have to do that again to make the club.
See, I still think that of this group, if you bat right-handed, you have an edge, because that enables Buck, when they face a left-handed batter, to get Kim out of there and Smith out of there. But if Trumbo plays right field when left-handers start and somebody else DHs, that means only one of the right-handed hitting outfielders has to make the team, and that gives them more depth to go in different directions. So it makes it even more intriguing that when we assume Trumbo would be just a full-time DH, now that Buck has hinted, well, you know, he may be in right field against lefties, now only one other right-handed batter is needed to start to get Kim out of there against the lefties.
Right, and on the other hand, they could be turning around and saying, you know what, we kind of like Trumbo more as a full-time DH. We'll carry another right-handed hitting outfielder, where it could be Rickard, and it could be Gentry, to platoon on each corner, or maybe they give Kim a shot to go ahead and and play every day and not have to platoon him, which I said all along, this is the time to find out if he can do that and not make it where you have to platoon on both corners. And Kim, by the way, has two hits in these two inter-squad games. I know they're just inter-squad, but after going over 23 to start spring training last year, the fact that he's hit swinging the bat pretty well early on, I mean, he roped a double into right field today, that's a good sign.
All right, I saw that the Players Association has approved getting away with throwing four pitches on intentional walks. I don't see how much time this is going to save, but the commissioner really wanted to push this through, and he did. What's the reaction from first the coaching side and then the player side that when an intentional walk is issued, you just hold up four fingers?
Yeah, I mean, it really is mixed. And I thought most people would be like, well, good, because what's the point of waiting out? You know, it's like this formality of throwing those four pitches, just give them the base. But there are people that say, you know, and Brad Brock was one of them. Brad's like, what is this, like Little League or high school now? You hold up four fingers, make the guy throw the four pitches. And I thought Brad had an interesting kind of angle with this. He said he prefers doing that because it kind of helps him, and he used the word reset, where you kind of you throw those four pitches, and it kind of calms you back down to go ahead and face the next batter. He said reset multiple times. I hadn't really thought of it that way. But then, you know, a guy like Britton, who joked with Brock, is how many times have you even had a throw or issue an intentional walk? He's like, yeah, it's silly. Just go ahead and give the guy the base. And Chris Tillman said, I'm going to have to actually watch it play out before I make my decision on whether I approve of it or not. So those are three guys with three different opinions. And Tony Clark, the union chief, when I asked him, is that how it's been pretty much in every camp you visit? He said, yeah, because you get guys way on one side of the argument, guys way on the other, and guys who are kind of in the middle. Because there were enough of them in the middle, that's why they were okay right now with approving it.
You know, the thing of it is that they could fix this very easily. And I'm not one that ever worries about how long a game takes. I love baseball. I love broadcasting baseball. And if the game's 3.5 hours and it's interesting, so be it. But all they have to do is tell the hitters, don't leave the batter's box. You get in, unless you have to look at your coach for a sign, just stay there and tell the pitcher, get the ball, get a sign, and throw it. I mean, that's all they have to do, and the pace of play will increase, and probably the quality of the game will increase. And for some reason, they talk about it all the time, never enforce it.
Right, and I think you made the key distinction. You know, I've been joking about, it's not like you're going to save so much time, you'll be able to beat traffic home because you're not throwing four pitches on an intentional walk. And as you said, it's more about, they say, quickening the pace, which they say is different than actually trying to reduce the time of the game. Fine, but there are other ways to do that. And one of them would be, you know, pitching changes. The reliever's got to come in quicker than a guy like, was it Fernando Rodney, who basically takes 20 minutes to get from the bullpen mound to the main mound. There's a way to do that, keeping guys in the batter's box. We were saying, hey, shorten the commercials between innings. I don't think they're going to do that. They're making
never
their money that way.
Never happened.
But this way just does not, I mean, again, it will quicken the pace a little bit, I suppose, but it just doesn't make enough of a difference. I mean, how many seconds are you saving? It's not like the pitcher, after he throws the first pitch out of the zone, walks to the back of the mound, grabs the rosin bag, toes the rubber, peers in. And it's usually a pretty fast process.
All right, so tomorrow you'll be at the camp early, and then you get in your car, and I'm sure you'll carpool with one of your colleagues there, Rich DeBroff or one of the gang, maybe Eddie Encina, maybe Peter Schmuck, and you go to Lakeland. And for you, the beat writers who have been there since the start, are you looking as much forward to playing real games that where competition is going to be trying to make the team as much as the players are?
Yeah, I mean, it's mixed because it is – something different. You don't want to get to be too monotonous. And you're right, it kind of amps things up a little bit. It feels more real. We kind of joked it. It's the real fake games now instead of the fake ones with the inner squad or whatever. But at the same time, the travel is not the most enjoyable part. Lakeland is not a short drive, and I've got to remember how to get there. And then you have to make the drive back. So your days are still real early because clubhouse still opens at 8 for the media. But your days are much longer now than they were before. And we do kind of enjoy being able to get out at a reasonable hour. So that part changes. There's more work. You know how it is. During the game, as soon as the starting pitcher comes out, you wait till they tell you he's available, and you run down mm-hmm. and get him. You end up missing maybe an inning or more while you're making that walk to get the starting pitcher and coming back to the press box. Then you're trying to get caught up on what you missed because you're scoring the game and trying to transcribe with the starting pitcher. So it's actually, I think, sometimes more work than just doing a regular season game. at Camden Yards.
Is that internet rumor I read true that you're buying me dinner Saturday night? Was that a fact?
That could be fake news, Jim. I don't know what to believe anymore.
All right, Rock. Well, enjoy the trip to Lakeland tomorrow. I'll see you there on Saturday. Hopefully travel will be uneventful tomorrow. Move in, get settled in. I'm really looking forward to getting back at it. And how about this? Next Thursday, you and I are back together. I have your empty chair here. This is Rock's chair. But next week, you get to join me.
Beautiful. You don't have to bring the chair, by the way. They have chairs here. So just leave that one at Dempsey.
All right. Well, maybe we'll put your name on it, Rock's Chair. All right. You have a good night and enjoy the pool.
Thanks, pal.
All right. That's Rock Cavaco joining us from Sarasota. And the beat writers as well as the players looking forward to games starting tomorrow. Orioles play their first exhibition game in the Grapefruit League in Lakeland against the Tigers. We'll take a break and come back. And Vidal Nuno will join us. Wellington Castillo also joins us as well tonight right here on Hot Stove Baseball on 105.7 The Fan. And don't forget, opening day is now less than 6 weeks away. You can plan your Birdland summer and secure your Orioles full or partial season ticket plans. Season plan members at every level enjoy huge savings over the cost of single game tickets. Plus, you get the exclusive orange carpet benefits, including baseball's most flexible exchange policy, access to opening day, and much more. Now, partial plans come at a variety of price points, and they are the best way to lock in your spot for all the action of the upcoming season. So get your seats now. Just go online, Orioles.com, or if you prefer, call 888-848-BIRD. Hot Stove Baseball, we're here at Dempsey's, our final show here. We're bringing the show to Florida beginning next Thursday night. And now joining us from Orioles camp in Sarasota, one of the recently acquired and new pitchers on this team, Vidal Nuno, who joins us today. Vidal, Jim Hunter here in Baltimore. How are you?
Hey, Jim. Pretty good.
What's it like getting used to not only a new team, but when you were in camp with another team and then get traded and have to make the switch?
Oh yeah, it's been a little bit hectic, but it's baseball, and I'm just enjoying each, just taking the journey of how a baseball player takes it. So acclimating, everything's good. The team is awesome, and enjoying each day now. So,
well, there's two ways to look at this, and I prefer to look at it that teams really like you and they want you, because you've moved around quite a bit the last 3 years. The Orioles now your fourth major league organization. You began with the Indians when you were first drafted. But that tells me that you have a skill the teams like, and that's why you're on the move so much.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I stayed healthy all last year, so that really helped me. And just my daily routine is just maturing in baseball, maturing in my pitches, just in general, just getting my routine down and just enjoying each day and bring a positive attitude to the clubhouse. So that really helps everything out. So
now the last couple of years, you've mainly been a reliever, 90 games combined, only 11 starts, but another thing about your repertoire and your skill set that may help the Orioles out is you do have the ability to pitch more than one inning. And on a team that has four right-handed starters, you really could help out on days where you may have to go a couple of innings. So that skill definitely helps this team.
Yeah. All my life I was a starter. So now I got five pitches that a hitter has to guess when one's coming. So those pitches are getting better each day. In camp right now, just getting everything polished and each day, and so it's just the daily routine of getting my stuff ready, and when I can't wait for to get in the game and spring training and everything. So, and then actually I'm going to be on the Mexican team. I got selected on that, so I'll be out there representing Mexico for Baseball World Classic.
Well, I know that has to be a thrill to be able to play in that tournament. Will it help or hurt you getting used to a new organization and getting ready for the season?
It's benefited me. I'm a 3-year vet now, so I have a daily routine now that's been thrill of how I come upon every day, staying healthy and producing every day. So is not going to really hurt me, but it's just being around camp, being around the guys, that has to wait a little bit, but the tournament is not that long, so I'll be right back into things a mix when the tournament's over. So,
when you look at this bullpen, and it is the best in the league, was last year, has a good chance to do that again, and the fact that Nan Duquette felt that you could make it even better, that's got to be really reassuring for you as a player, because the bullpen on this team really is the strength of the team. And Buck utilizes the relievers out there expertly. And now you're being added to that mix. I mean, as a professional, what a spot to land for you at this stage of your career at 29 years old.
Oh, definitely. I'm very well, how they're going to use me, I'm versatile. So it's just, like you said, one or two innings, maybe three. I did that last year. So it's just release the guys who've been like back-to-back days. Something like that, I can get that mix and throw a couple innings here and there, and we all are. Buck is going to use us as polished as we could get and try to get the job done and win some ball games and win the and try to be in first place.
You know, it's interesting in this game how tied together players often are. You and Mark Trumbo were teammates in Arizona, and you were traded to Seattle in exchange for Wellington Castillo. Wellington Castillo is now your catcher, and Trumbo once again is your teammate. It's kind of amazing how in baseball, when you look at these transactions, how often that does happen. And again, it's because the teams acquiring those players feel like they can help.
Yeah, definitely. Front office has all these, have books on, books on us and everything, reports, so they're going to require the best guys that they're trying to put on the field and get the bullpen pieces and all the pieces together to win a World Series. So looking at it this year, they're putting the right pieces together. They've been putting the right pieces together. Now it's all about production and staying healthy, and if we do that we go a long ways and we can compete highly.
Well, that is a good point about the production, and Buck has mentioned quite a few times since camp has begun that he would love to have another left-hander in that bullpen. Usually it's a seven-man bullpen, where and that's where you come in, but I'm kind of getting the impression in listening to you here that you feel like you want to go out and earn that spot. You're not assuming anything.
Yeah, I'm not taking nothing for granted. I'm very blessed to have this opportunity. I'm going to embrace every moment, every opportunity. I'm at the baseball field. It's just because I'm a 48th rounder. I've been humble since day one. So, and I found my routine that I stay healthy and enjoy my day at the field every day. So, I'm very excited in upcoming days, upcoming months, and can't wait to opening day.
How did a native of California, where they have numerous big-time college programs, end up at Baker University in Kansas to pitch in college?
Yeah, I just needed to get away from California. It was a fast-paced city life. I just needed to explore a little bit, and my dad always says, like, if you want to be a baseball player, you got to explore the states and everything. So Baker gave me a full ride, and two of my teammates that I went to a JUCO with, they went along and got scholarships too. So it made it easier for me to choose that school.
You know, the what you said before about how you've had to work for everything, and it was a good point about being a 48th round pick. I mean, you look at this bullpen, Brad Brock, who's an all-star, he was a 42nd round pick. So it does show you that if you have some ability, it's really all about the opportunity and then you taking advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. Like nothing's given to you, even a first rounder. Some of them don't even make it, but it's just all about your work ethic and just the drive that you got every day to achieve, and you set goals every year to achieve what you want to get done. And it's been in my under of what I've been doing and how I've been getting these guys out and developing pitches and learning to look at film and all that excel on every aspect in the game. So the game could be slowed down for me. And so when I'm in the game, my heart rate won't be racing or I won't be anxious. So now everything's slowing down. I can take everything in and then just go out there and perform and do my best and get these guys out.
Yeah, and that all begins tomorrow when the exhibition games begin. And, well, this has been an unusual camp for you anyway. I mean, you ended last season as a Mariner. Then you were traded mm-hmm. to the Dodgers. You go to camp with the Dodgers. And now you're with the Orioles, and you're trying to get accustomed. And I know the players really look forward to the games because then it's more than simply practice where you show up early and go through drills.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We're all excited. Baseball tomorrow, so... something to watch on TV now, and back to work now. So, but yeah, we're baseball world is excited to be back for 2017.
Now, when will you have to leave to join Team Mexico for the WBC? What date is that?
My flight leaves on March 5th to go to Phoenix, and they got a couple exhibition games, and then. March 8th is that's when we go to Mexico, and March 9th is the first game out there.
That's got to be a pretty big thrill that you're playing for Team Mexico, and Mexico is hosting one of the quadrants. There are four. One is Korea, one is Japan, one is Miami, and then Mexico. So not only on you on that team, you're getting mm-hmm. to go back there before the home fans. That's got to be really a thrill for you.
Yeah, definitely. It was just... going to a country that they're excited about baseball and how the World Baseball Classic put everything together. So it's very exciting about bringing the whole country into different parts and very very thrilled to be part of it. So
all your luggage showed up from Arizona to Sarasota. And now you're just getting up and leaving again. You're a guy who likes to move around, aren't you?
Well, kind of, not really. Just the jet lag and the three-hour difference and everything. But it's just part of the game. It's part of this this drive. It's part of the game that it has to be done, because if you can't do this, you're not going to be part of the team, and you're not going to be part of, and it's just exciting to have this this adventure, this journey that I never thought of having. So I never think about nothing negative, nothing. I'm always positive. I'm always thrilled to pitch and still be able to pitch at 29 years old. So I'm enjoying each moment of it. So,
well, Vidal, I really appreciate your time tonight. Thanks for joining us. I arrive tomorrow. I think I'm the last one to arrive, but that's okay. I'll still get there, and I look forward to meeting you in person over the weekend as we get back to broadcasting the game. So best of success for this year for the Orioles and also in the WBC for Team Mexico. Pleasure talking with you. I appreciate the visit.
All right, Jim. I appreciate it, too.
All right, thanks. I'll see you down there this weekend. All right, that's Vidal Nuño. Who was acquired by Dan Duquette from the Dodgers. What an offseason he had. He ended last season as a Mariner. Then during the offseason, he was traded to the Dodgers. He goes to camp with the Dodgers, and then they call him in and say, oh, by the way, we just traded you to the Orioles. So three organizations since the end of last year. But again, if you see a guy that moves around that much, that tells you that some front office believes he can help. And in this case, Dan Duquette and his staff felt that this was a real good option to give the Buck Showalter another left-hander in that pen. We'll take a break and come back. Hot Stove Baseball, Wellington Castillo will join us from Sarasota as we come back on 105.7 The Fan. Well, don't forget, single game tickets for the upcoming season are on sale. Don't miss your chance to lock in the best seats for the top games of 2017, including divisional rivalries, fun weekend series, and a host of promotional events, including an Orioles Maryland flag replica jersey, a Manny Machado starting lineup figure, Zach Britton and Jonathan Scope bobbleheads, and a 25th anniversary of Oriole Park replica ballpark. Plan your Birdland summer now. Go online, Orioles.com, or call 888-848-BIRD. We thank Fidel Nuno for calling in as we get to learn some of the new Orioles, and about to do that as well as we'll head back to Sarasota, and on the phone is the Orioles' new number one catcher, Wellington Castillo. Wellington, Jim Hunter here in Baltimore. How are you?
Hey, Jim Hunter. How you doing? I'm good right here.
Well, I'm doing well, but I'll be better tomorrow because tomorrow I get to go to Sarasota for spring training. So I think I'm the last one to arrive, but I will be there tomorrow.
So tell me, that's good.
Yeah, no, that is very good. Now, you have a unique situation here because of the WBC. You are going to go play for your native Dominican Republic, and at the same time, you're trying to learn a new pitching staff with the Orioles, and this seems to be a big topic with you because of the fact that you'll be leaving, and who knows for how long, because in the last WBC, the Dominican team won it all, so it went the maximum time. Are you at all concerned about that, losing the time to learn the Orioles pitchers?
Yeah, it's a little bit hard, honestly, but I feel like I'm in good pace already with a simulator game that we've been playing here with them, and I've been cutting almost all of them already. So it's just about time. Honestly, I'm gonna lose a couple weeks, hopefully, and then, you never know how long I'm gonna be out. So it can be almost whole spring training, but it can be a week, it can be two or three. So, and you know, hopefully we can win it all again. But you know, that's in God's hands. And at the end of the day, all the matter is about the trust that they're gonna have, and that gonna come with time, like you say. So, and I feel really good about everybody here, all the whole pitching staff. So I have a really good idea about what they like to do. So that's gonna help me out too.
Well, you do have some experience in learning on the fly, if you will. I mean, look back to 2015; you were a Cub. And then you get traded to Seattle, and I think you were there a week, and you got traded to Arizona. You not only had to learn a pitching staff, you had three different pitching staffs all within 1 year. So if anyone can figure this out, I got to believe it's you.
I think so. I have a little bit of experience on that. Like you say, in 2015, I passed like two or three different teams with different pitching staff. So you just got to adjust to them, honestly. You know, you just got to learn the way that they like to pitch and where they want you to set up behind the play and, you know, what kind of pitch he wants you to call behind the count for strikeout, you know, stuff like that. And that come we talk. I'm really open guy, too. So I come to talk to them. I ask him, you know, that just try to build a relationship with him because if you put it this way, we spend more time with them than our family, kind of. So, you know, and learn from them. You know, I just tell them in the game, hey, I want to see what you got. What can you do? So just give me an idea of how to call a game for you. So, and they're really open. And they told me, I like to do this, do that, we twist right this, and behind the count that. So that give me an idea about what they like to do and what pitch that can use in certain situations.
Okay, so your approach is you want to utilize the best that the pitcher has to offer. You're more of a suggester as opposed to, especially at this early stage, learning the staff of trying to say, no, I think this pitch will work here, even if the pitcher wants to throw something else. You're going to let them dictate how they go about it.
Yeah, because they've been pitching a long time. I mean, we have a young pitching staff, but you know they know themselves better than anybody else. So, and you know, just have them explain what they like to do. That's all that matters. Because I can call the game with my feeling, what I feel, what I got a feel for, but they might not have that kind of feel and that kind of pitch in that situation. So just learning from them. what I like to do, because at the end of the day, I'm going to go with him, with his stream, with the pitcher stream, not with the hitter, not with whatever scouting report or stuff like that. So I'm gonna go with him, and we're gonna win or we're gonna lose with his stream. So that's the bottom line.
Now, you were a free agent this past off season, so you could have gone anywhere, and you were one of the veteran players who actually signed reasonably early. What was it about the fit with the Orioles that was attractive to you to want to come and join this team?
You know what? The team is a really great team. You know, really a lot of great players, coaching staff. You know, this is a team that being in the playoff and the last couple of years, it's a competitive team. So I want to win here. I want to be part of that when I want to be part of the team when they win. So, you know, why not fit the Orioles?
Now, you played here in interleague games last September with Arizona, so you got to see the ballpark firsthand and the atmosphere here, and that was a good month here because the Orioles were pushing to get into the playoffs, which they did. Did the atmosphere of that series sway you at all, knowing that when this team is in contention and this is a contending team going into the season, that there are a lot of days like that in this ballpark?
Oh, it can be. You know, this is a really good division. It's a tough division, so I bet that the game is, you know, just game like we played in September against Baltimore when I was with the Diamondbacks. You know, it's gonna be game like this, and gonna be game open game. So, you know, but this division is really hard. It's a lot of good players, a lot of good pitchers. But at the end of the day, all that matters, like, we go out and compete and give all we got at the field. You know, whatever is happening, it's happening. So we prepare for it. Whatever is happening, happening. Then we go out there and give 100%. That's all that matters.
You know, I was very impressed when I read, here you are a veteran, you're 29 years old, you'll be 30 in April, now with your fourth major league organization. So you have an idea of what you're doing. You're a number one catcher. But in the off season, you went to the Molina brothers to work on blocking balls and keeping them in front of you. That really impressed me that you felt like you needed to get some work done, and you went to, I mean, the Molinas are royalty in catching. So that wasn't a bad thing to do. But, I mean, that impressed me as a veteran. What motivated you to do that?
You know what? These days is about all the, it's about numbers and computers and everything and all like that. But and I've been one of those, not the top catchers in the league doing that and receiving and framing and all that stuff. So, you know, I just want to eliminate that from the mouth of the people, you know, that, oh, he's not good on this, he's not good on that. So, you know, I've been a hard worker. You know, I never stop learning. That's the way that I think. It's always something to prove. It's always something to learn. So why not go to the best guy, you know, Jose? So I went to him, and we talking before I went there. Can you help me with this? Are you going to be available to help me with this? And he said, yes, just come here, and we're going to work on it. And we work on the framing and stuff and everything. So it was an amazing experience. Working with him and got a lot of from him. So he's a great guy, great player, really good defensive catcher. So he was one of the best.
And with the Orioles bench coach John Russell being the catching coach, you're obviously going to develop a nice relationship with him as time goes on. What has he talked to you about that approach to the game? You raise a good point. It's so important to keep that ball in front of you, not to allow the base runner to get another 90 feet. What has John Russell talked to you about approach and technique behind the plate?
You know, he's been helping me a lot, honestly. He's really interesting the way that he says stuff, because when you do it, the way that he asks you to do it, you see the result. You see everything, how it's coming smooth. You may better throw something that we've been working is, we are still working is on the framing and stuff too, and the throwing to the base. That's amazing that he told me to do. So you can see the ball just carrying him and the trust those guys gave it to us to throw the ball down the second of any of the infield because they can pick everything. They just give you the confidence, you know, to throw the ball. And it doesn't matter if you throw in the dirt or whatever you throw it. Those guys are going to be there for you. So, and John been telling me a lot of stuff. So I'm really happy to have him and be working with him. And I guarantee you I'm going to get better in anything that I propose to him.
Well, with Buck Showalter managing this team, there is a tremendous detail and attention to detail, especially in spring training. Have there been discussions about pitchers controlling the running game? Because that's one of the things when Buck took over several years ago, he noticed that the pitchers weren't necessarily as quick to the plate as they should be to give the catcher a chance. And now in the minor leagues, if you don't hold runners well and get to the plate quickly, you're not going to pitch in the major leagues for the Orioles. It's just that simple. So that's something, the way you just described, they really have to give you the chance. And on this team, they're getting pretty good at it.
That was one of the first things that he told me when I get here. You know, we know that you have a good arm. That's what he said. But I guarantee you that this pitching staff gonna give you the chance to throw guys out. So that's impressive. You know, because that's really important. Not only because my numbers as a catcher, it's just because the team. You know, if the pitcher doesn't give you the time or the chance to throw that guy out, that guy is still the base. With the base hit, that guy can score, so it's going to be a run. So as a team, we all going to get benefit for that kind of time that they're going to give it to me and to anybody else behind the plate. So that's really impressive and really important to do that as a team.
Do you feel because you chose this team and the Orioles obviously chose you, they offered you the contract that you signed, do you feel like you could just blend in on this team because there's so many veterans that are star players that contribute and it is a contender? So if you just do your job as opposed to having to be the guy, I got to believe it's a lot easier if you just blend in and do your job.
You know, you have to. I think you have to be like that no matter where you are. You have to do your job, you know. But at the same time, you make your job easier when you have a veteran like we have like this and really good player behind you or in front of you that do their job too. So you're gonna take the pressure out of you, like you say. But you don't have to focus about that. You just gotta go and control, go out there and compete and give everything you got and control what can you control. You know, you cannot control anything they got in your hand. So you just control what you can control and do your best out there and try to be better every day.
Now, normally veterans don't go on many road trips in the spring, but because of the WBC, it's a little different. I wouldn't think you'd be going to Lakeland tomorrow, but are you scheduled to play in Bradenton on Saturday to get your first game?
Oh, yeah. You know, I ask him, I want to play the most game that I can to catch, just to have more experience about catching the pitching here. He told me, I'm gonna be playing a lot the week or the last 2 weeks that I'm gonna be here before I leave. So you know I'm open to do whatever they want me to do, and then to go whenever I need to go, whatever I need to go. So I just want to play and have fun and get to know the guys.
All right, well, Wellington, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Look forward to meeting you in Sarasota this weekend before our first broadcast on Sunday. And best of luck this year. And let's hope it goes deep into the postseason because this team is built to win now, and you're certainly a big part of that. Thank you so much. Looking forward to meeting you.
Thank you. God bless you. And we're going to try to do everything we can to do it.
All right. Wellington Castillo joining us from Sarasota, the Orioles' new number one catcher. He'll be leaving. Vidal Nuno's leaving. Adam Jones is leaving. Jonathan Scope is leaving. Manny's leaving. Boy, there's going to be opportunity for guys for those final roster spots to go on in and earn a spot. Now, don't forget, our first broadcast is Sunday. Joe and I with you, 1 o'clock, as the Orioles from Sarasota play in the Grapefruit League. Our final show here at Dempsey's. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you Sunday on the radio from Sarasota.